The following content has been provided by New St. Andrews College in Moscow, Idaho. For more information, visit us online at www.nsa.edu.
Hear the world calling, but some don't listen. They're only trying to drag you back into prison, that's right.
Hi, welcome back to What Have You. This is Rachel Jankovic.
I'm Becca Merkel.
We're back to talk again.
We're talking.
Yep.
We're doing it.
This time we're outside of my house, which has been a proven fail of a location. So we're going to see how today goes. Yeah. And I'm knitting in the car.
Yeah, she's being like all kinds of productive.
No, I'm on a deadline with this particular knitting.
Oh, that's what you're knitting.
It is. Yes.
Like it's very cool. It's a pretty blue, neat blue hat.
Knitting a hat for Nate. And I know it's not really the season for it's not a strong hat weather.
Right.
It is today,
right now,
unfortunately.
It is.
But yes.
Raining its head off.
But I still felt like, I'm like, well, if I had a big head wound, I could imagine wanting to pull a hat down all the way over it. Can't you imagine?
Yeah.
Thinking maybe you did want to.
Does he know that you're making him a hat?
No, he doesn't. But I'm going to see him tonight because I'm going to go over there tonight anyway. So I'll see him probably tonight before they leave tomorrow. And I'm like, I have to get it done by tonight.
Yeah.
Which will be, it will have been given to him by the time this
gets
released.
Up a little flurry.
Well, because it's not a winter hat. It is merino wool, but it is sock weight, so it's a lighter weight hat.
Yeah, it's pretty. You'll have to put a picture up.
Yeah, but it's also lighter weight means tinier needles and less, you know, ground covered per stitch.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. It's pretty. I like it.
Thanks.
Meanwhile, so what have you been doing besides that?
No, this is it for besides this, trying to get back into remembering what I cook in the springtime.
It
turns out I forget what we eat, what we like, what we do every time the season changes. So basically that.
You've been spending some time in thought, pondering. Menus.
Tomorrow's Blair's birthday, and she's been spending a lot of time in thought about Blair's birthday. She gave us a list a long time ago for her birthday that was like, it was really high-tech, low-tech. It was like an iPad, an iPod, a Kindle, which
car.
She's seven, so she's not getting an iPad or or an iPod. And but then the second half was hugs and tickles. It's like every technological, I need a laptop, I need whatever, all the tech things, and then hugs and tickles.
That's cute.
She is getting a Kindle because she's a crazy reader, so she's getting a Kindle. But mostly just because her older siblings have them. It's kind of the thing. She reads well. And she's also I don't like to pick a favorite child.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't. But she's my favorite child for birthday requests because she's like, she went spaghetti with shells.
That's always awesome.
I have my kids generally craft their birthday menu through the whole year, you know, like,
yeah.
But she had spaghetti with shells last year.
Mm-hmm.
And her requirement was that we eat it on a picnic blanket in the yard. So we had like a pot of pasta at the yard.
You know, one time I remember Knox when he was little, I think we were in England actually, so he must have been like eight or something. He requested chicken noodle soup and shrimp.
Ooh.
And I was like, in the soup? Nope, on the side. So we had chicken noodle soup.
Perfect.
With a side of shrimp.
I have some of my kids, I love that they all like food, and so I like the things that they come up with for their birthday menus. But it doesn't matter with birthdays. No matter how long you know they're coming, they hit you at the last minute like
a
freight
crisis.
Train. You're
it's
like, oh my word, no, we're not ready. We can't have a birthday tomorrow. So we always do a special birthday breakfast that they get to pick their birthday breakfast.
That is far more ambitious.
Menu.
than I am.
I think that we accidentally granted that right. I think there was some time when someone was like, could I have Mickey's scones, those poppy
seeds? Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Really delicious. Poppy seed scones with a marmalade cream.
Oh, they are
and
good.
And that kind of became our, like, birthday breakfast thing, but not for Blair. She wants bacon and scrambled eggs with potatoes and a ham in it.
Oh, man.
She's a big breakfast eater, so
going for the power of protein.
Yeah, but everything that she picked, and then she wanted, I took her birthday cupcakes to school today because she, because Marisol's leaving to go to California, so her cousin Nate's daughter is not going to be there tomorrow on her birthday, so we did took the cupcakes today, and, but she wants, it's very funny, it's the only, and we never make box mix cakes, but she wants the chocolate cupcakes from the box mix with chocolate chips on top of them. Like,
oh, there you
like,
go.
It's
she's
like
got the, her specifications.
She, no, but she makes it so easy.
You know, one time a kid requested, I don't remember which one, corn dogs for their birthday, and I felt like, you may have that.
Okay. Are you sure you don't want something fancy like I know. Ramen?
And I don't think, I mean, like, I never buy corn dogs, so yeah. It was kind of a big thrill all around.
No, it is funny. You're
but
like,
this last few years, our birthday requests have not been corn dogs. They have been...
They've leveled up.
A little more.
Yeah, I've had the orange raspberry trifle recipes, like specific recipes. Like, we want Ina Garten's this or... Daphne just had her birthday. It was cream puffs that she wanted. Cream puffs. And
that's right.
So I do due diligence on birthdays.
You're doing
it's
a
just,
good job.
It's just that this one.
Meanwhile, I have been, well, I have more not been sewing an evening gown for my oldest daughter, who has a formal event next week. On Tuesday, actually. And it has to be, it's formal. They have to wear floor length, you know, gowns. She had wanted me to design and sew it since forever ago, so it's not like I did not know this was coming, and it's not like she didn't remind me months in advance, like, hey, we should design that dress, hey, we should go get fabric, but we did not manage to do it until this last weekend. So we went and got the fabric.
What kind of fabric is it?
Worked on the design. Well, it's actually really kind of pretty. She decided to go with separates, interestingly. So it's a black like floor length skirt, taffeta full with deep pockets on the side. I think that's going to be actually fun. But then we had to come up with a top, and the top is a really pretty kind of like champagne color, metallic almost. It's a really beautiful fabric that is got stretch. It's got some stretch to it. So we're doing a kind of boat neck with an interesting sort of wrap across sleeve thing. It's a very, we're just making this up as we go along, making it fitter. And it's actually really cute currently, but it's not done. And it's not even close to done. Basically, what I have is a very rough sketch of a top half.
Mm. Oh, wait, so you're not actually doing the fabric yet?
No, it's in fabric. It's still a
are
rough sketch.
Are you draping this as you
yeah,
go? That's
yeah,
the plan?
We are. And so... Anyway, it's, so far, promises to be cute, but there's a little bit left before we're done. So I have that I need to finish, and then I also, NSA has a sort of a big, like, formal dinner for friends of the college that's coming up, and... I think that's
those
the
are really
week
fun
after
dinners.
Next.
We can't do it this year because we're going to be flying to California.
Yes, and we're going to be just coming back from California, because we should, I guess, specify that we're all going down at different points
separate
after
shifts
after
to help
Nate's
with the...
surgery, because he's going to be doing surgery in another state. So we're all taking different shifts. Anyway, so when we get back, we have this dinner. You guys won't make it because you'll be down taking your shift.
But it's really fun because NSA has it's a winemaker in Walla Walla who makes...
Yeah, and Walla Walla is part of the Columbia Valley winemaking.
Yeah, but he makes wonderful wine, but then the dinner, he like makes the whole dinner that pairs with his wines.
So phenomenal. So he's
fun.
He's a fantastic winemaker. He's doing like Italian style wines and...
We love
he's a
the Riposte
guy. He's doing a like... you know, private label for NSA.
Am I wrong that the Raposo is the only Raposo being made in the States?
I believe it is, unless it's...
Is that the one? The Raposo? Yeah.
Yes, it's so good.
So it's like a, it's like one that is made twice off of the same... Is that right? No, it uses the sludge of some...
No, they dry the grapes first. They dry them out till they're like raisins almost, and then they press the wine. So it's got this amazing, like, deep kind of...
It's really good.
Current
No, but
flavors.
It's like two notes in the wine. There's like two things happening. It feels like the, like a, you know, like a bass note and then... Yeah. And a,
then the second
really
one is
beautiful.
After they press that wine, then they take the sludge and they put the grapes into a different wine.
Right, right, yeah.
Anyway, it's phenomenal.
And I have to say, at one of these dinners, so there are these formal, really fun dinners with the wine paired with the exotic
and he's
foods.
A chef and his son's a chef, so they come up
so
and
he
they
comes,
put but this whole dinner
this is
on.
One of my favorites is that when we had it there was a baby octopus salad or something.
Yeah,
it's like little baby octopuses in your
tiny
little teeny
octopus.
Weeny ones. And I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan. Luke was a huge fan. Something about eating a tiny baby octopus slows me down. I did actually eat it because I felt like I should, you know, like I should try this, but I didn't eat the whole baby octopuses. It was like three of them or something, you know, like a little couple. And mom was across the table from Tim Edwards and he was just like, couldn't get enough of the baby octopuses. And mom was not really wanting to eat all of hers. I don't know if she ate them. She just, whatever. She was not, but she thought, well, he's enjoying these so much. I should ask if he wants mine. It's like a pretty formal, it's a formal one. Yeah. And so mom is like, well, he is all excited. Like, yes, yes, I want to eat them. So she's like, okay. So she puts this baby octopus on her fork and looks about her to see if it's appropriate time to smuggle it across the table. And she just goes, as she goes to pass it across the table, it falls off the fork and into her water goblet. And so now it's actually swimming. It's
literally
like,
is like,
and the little legs are all peeled back, like it's bobbing around in her water goblet.
It really looked like it had returned to its homeland.
She's like, oh no, because mom is very. I wouldn't call her a Miss Manners, but she's very etiquette aware.
Yes.
She's not just usually doing things like this. And so she was just horrified and I think shrouded her glass in a napkin and held it under the table until a server could come by. But
so
I love
funny.
I was like, don't think you can transport the baby octopuses easily from here and there.
Know.
But no, it's so it really is fun to
it's
have.
It's a great event.
It,
and
yeah.
So I am.
I'm sad to miss it this year.
I designed some fabric for the table linens, so we've got that done, and it arrived the other day. A big
bag
of it, and it's beautiful. It's like this beautiful linen cotton canvas, and it's a. It turned out really fun. I'm really happy with it.
See it.
It's currently still on the roll, and I have to. We have to get it made up into the linens, and then those we use for. They're raffled off at the end of the evening, and I'm in charge of doing centerpieces, which is going to involve. Yes. Anyways.
Last year it involved.
Oh yes.
It
yes,
involved
last
a lot
year.
Of crafting.
It was really fun. So last year this was so funny. We have. Really beautiful porcelain clay here in the Palouse, but people aren't really doing very much with it. There's a guy about 30 miles south who mines the clay and he does stuff with it. He's got a pottery place, but nobody's doing, like, we have beautiful porcelain.
People do. In the pottery world,
stuff.
They are, but there's not industry.
There's
no
porcelain
lines of,
industry here.
Right.
So anyhow, we were going to be giving away the centerpieces, raffling off the centerpieces. And so I was like, well, let's do something cooler than just a cheap, like, Michael's vase with flowers in it. Like, and so I was like, I'll make some.
It was kind of like when she was like, let's wear a cooler shoe than one you can just buy.
You continue to say this. I am going to make shoes just to spite you.
It's actually somebody else brought that up to me about you making shoes. It was
I haven't
mind.
Made shoes.
No,
but
I mean, from the podcast.
I might.
From the podcast. I'm sure
going to have to in a minute.
What but I actually, that reminds me of something I mean to ask you. But go ahead, finish.
So anyways, I was like, let's just make something out of this porcelain. And I am not a potter. Rachel has a potter's wheel and a kiln in her garage. Mm-hmm. And they throw stuff on their wheel. But the one and only time I tried that, it was a horrible flop. So, but I was like, but I bet I could do slip casting. Now, I said this without having ever attempted to do slip casting before in my life.
Also, much like the formal gown, you're due to sew.
Yes.
It was on a deadline.
It was on a deadline, yeah.
This was not 6 months ahead of time.
And it was like, oh, I'm sure.
It's like, well, we have 2 weeks.
Yeah, I
can
do that.
2 weeks?
So I made a mold of a little urn that I had bought.
It's a plaster mold, right?
Yeah, plaster mold. I made a mold of this little urn. I
thought that
England.
Wasn't as cool of you because I wanted you to hand sculpt an urn.
I did not hand sculpt an urn. Mm-hmm. I did not. But
slacker!
Actually, I have... Next time, Rach.
Yeah, next.
Anyway,
next year, not this year.
I made a mold of this little urn that I had bought in England, and then I got some of our porcelain clay and made slip and poured these little.
Slip is more liquid clay.
It's liquid clay. So anyway, it's basically just soupy clay with some sodium silicate and stuff in it. So anyhow, I did that and then learned that although the process sounds simple, like plaster mold, pour in some slip, how hard can it be? There's some nuance here and there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I flopped a whole number of urns, but some of them, like what was it, 6 or 8 or something that I actually pulled out. And it was a very last minute hurrah of coming over to Rachel's house and we put all these urns in her kiln, like pulled them out, glazed them. She was helping me glaze them.
They
throw
were basically
them back
still
in the urn.
Hot. With
they
flowers
were basically
in them.
Still hot, and I was arranging flowers in them the day of the dinner. So anyway, this year
it was like hot off the press faces.
It literally was hot
like,
off the press.
Forget this off the shelf.
I'm
Michaels.
Gonna have to put a picture up because they were actually
they were, very
they were really kind of cute. Some
they were
of them
cute how little they were. They had a really cute little. Cute.
Yeah, it's a short. It's not like a massive urn. It was a
no.
Little...
I have a. I discovered after we got into pottery a little bit why there's so much ugly pottery in the world. I was like, this is how it happens. And I was like, because once you start being like, I could make my own glazes from things I found in my backyard, and it's like, well, at the point that you've gone so deep on this craft that you have fired. You know, rocks and ground them up and made a glaze and put them on it and refired it. And then it comes out a yucky beige. You'd still think it was the most amazing thing that ever happened. You're like, but see, I was like, this is where all this
my
weird
problem
flesh-toned
is,
pottery
I just,
comes
the
from.
The thing that bothers me is we have this beautiful quality clay. But most of the local stuff that I see where people are like, here's a local pottery item, it has a moose painted on it or something like it's like this is what symbolizes the Northwest is a pine tree and a moose instead of doing something anyway. So that's why I just kind of wanted to try the
like
urn
tiny
thing.
Baby urns,
tiny baby urns.
Well, so when we started getting into pottery, we made a lot of stuff that, you know, misfired stuff that is before we knew what we were doing. When we didn't like the glaze colors, when we didn't like, so I ended up with this like box full of like mugs with too thick of bases, bowls that cracked when it was fired, like a big serving bowl, and like we light or that there was like a glaze malfunction, because when you glaze things there's a lot of things that can go wrong in the glazing, you know, like the glaze pooled into kind of a glassy, like it was too thick so it pools on the bottom, or it was too thin.
Because it's hard to see. When you glaze the pottery, you really can't tell what
it's going
to look
like. It just takes a lot
afterwards.
Of practice. Yeah, no, because the glaze is not the color of the molten glass that it will be. Anyways, I had this hot idea. I don't even remember what the project was. I was like, babe, I know what we can do with all this pottery. I was like, it was obviously a mosaic of some kind. It must have been a tabletop or something that I thought we could make a cool mosaic out of all these. Oh. I was like, because we have all
of
this.
Out of the broken pottery.
Because it was all, no, it wasn't broken yet, but malfunctioned pottery. Yeah. And I was like, what are we going to do with this? I was like, Luke, I think I was thinking it was something on the level of like, I don't know. It seemed like a good idea at the time. I don't even know what it was. But it was my hot idea. And Luke was like, no. And he was like, I draw the line there. He was like, he's like, I love spending the time, you know, trying to throw the item on the wheel, trimming it, firing it, glazing it, and firing it again. And he was like, and at that point, we're not breaking it and making something else. Like, if it failed, then we're sending it on forever. And it was kind of like the random ship line. The random line he drew for me that I would not make fire starters out of toilet paper tubes and dryer lint. I saw this online somewhere, like, if you just stuff your dryer lint inside a toilet paper tube and wrap wax paper around it, it makes a really good fire starter.
And you're just, like, quick, let's like, make ow. Some.
Well, no, I was not that it seemed like such a great craft. It just seemed like I have a lot of dryer lint and I have a lot of toilet paper tubes.
Multi-purpose.
So I was like, why not just put all my garbage into here? And it'll be amazing. And Luke will never run out of fire starters again. And for whatever reason, he was just like, no. He's like, there's a lot of things I can put up with, but this is one that I cannot. Do not ask me to have a handcrafted toilet paper tube fire starter. I think he saw it as like a craft project, and I saw it as like a just a functional thing to do with toilet paper tubes and these are the times, people. This is, you have to refer back to your wedding vows. I promise to obey you and lay off the fire starting love, honor, and obey. I won't do it.
Yep.
Anyway, so that was a good time.
Submission in action.
Submission in action. Oh, it's good times.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So now you know what I'm not allowed to do.
Oh, that's really funny. So anyway, that's what I've been working on. And how about what have you been like thinking about?
Oh, well, there was
learning about.
Well, there was a recent, well, learning. I don't know.
Well, I honestly, I think the biggest
So did you ever read Peace Like a River? Because that was weeks and weeks ago, right?
When
well,
I reread
it since I recommended it because I was ashamed of myself having only read one of my favorite books once. So. Mm.
Well, I have not read one of your favorite books.
Yeah,
even
ever.
Once.
Ever.
No, I haven't read it, but I do think that this whole situation with Nate's upcoming surgery has definitely been
distracting.
Right. Well, either that or extremely focusing, one of the two, because
yeah, it depends on which thing you're talking about.
Yeah, because the thing is I think that has been at the forefront of a lot of the things we've been talking about or thinking about is just contentment, trust, faith. What does that look like?
Adding
joy
and just adding in. I said a while ago, you know how they do skin grafts, so. You have a big wound.
This taps into Rachel's medical side. she likes to read medical
Little
things.
Did you know I have a medical
she
side.
Does. I have no medical side.
Okay, but just stick with me on the metaphor. It probably taps more into my metaphor side than my medical side. Okay, but both. if you have a big wound on, like, say someone has a big wound on their leg and it's like no way can the skin heal over that. You know, like it just can't.
Right.
And so they have to graft skin for it. Well, they take the skin from somewhere else that can afford it. You know, like your stomach, somewhere where it will stretch easier. But they don't take the same size piece of skin, because if they did that, you're just moving the wound from one place to the next. It's not like you make a pattern piece of skin and cut that out of another part. So they take a strip of skin and then they run it through this thing. It's kind of amazing. It's like a skin meshing thing. It like, but it basically perforates it, so it's like a,
I'm picturing like a cricket machine.
Yeah, totally, like a scrapbooking stuff, but with a piece of skin.
Gross.
Yeah, you brought that up. So it's more like a pasta roller. It rolls.
Yeah,
it rolls
right.
It and punches all these holes in it. Well, because it there are little slits in it, and so basically, then they stretch the skin out over the wound, and it's really awesome because they take live, healthy skin. And then they give it a ton. It basically transfers one huge wound into like 50 manageable ones. Because
it becomes
ones.
Like a chain link fence of
yes,
skin.
Yes, yes. And so the live, healthy skin, all every little piece of it takes responsibility for the gaps around it. And it yeah. heals over to meet that. And I know it's kind of a gross metaphor, except for it really works for me in what we're doing. Because I feel
sort
like
the body
as a family.
Of Christ.
Yes, as a family, we are being run through the skin meshing machine. And it is like every there. It's not the whole thing. It's not like we can take care of everything because it's like we can't. But yeah. everyone is taking care of the little things right around them. You know, like yeah. running extra. I know I went to pick up the girls for dance, Nate's girls, because Heather was going to go be with him for a little bit, and went to pick them up for dance. And another woman in the church is like picking up or dropping off JJ from basketball from yeah. baseball.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot
well,
of
I do think that
little people. I went over and cleaned out her freezer. It's like everything you can do that's right next to you, that's right, that's like, this is accessible.
I think that is a good metaphor, though, for the body of Christ, because that is about bearing one another's burdens. It's like,
right, but not thinking you can't bridge this
no,
whole thing.
You can't do the whole thing, but you can pick up a corner.
Right.
You know, you can
right.
do the...
And
actually, I have to say, that has been something this community has been so... awesome about.
Oh yeah, very
with this whole thing.
Sweet.
So sweet.
Well,
so.
And more than just this community. I was like this morning when I looked on Facebook, I saw some friends, the Evangel Classical School or whatever, all the kids with their little, because their mascot is the mm-hmm. Ragans,
I know,
you know,
I
and their little
it.
Thing saying we're praying for you, and it's just super sweet. It is super sweet, not just the Christians here, but everywhere, you
yeah.
know. But more practically, it's very distracting here because the things that are most important are not usually even on my schedule, and they don't seem important. Like something I'm doing right now is knitting a hat, and then I have to pack pea pods and pretzels into snack bags and deliver them tonight for their road trip.
Oh, is that like, what you're doing? How
well,
fun.
Not just me. It's a number of people are covering all their snacks for the drive
oh,
down.
Really
so
sweet.
It's like that's the part that I'm have been assigned, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just little things like that.
Good.
But I think whatever you have that you can pick up.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the whole wound. It's like the body right. of Christ is made up of a lot of little wounds.
Yeah.
Not, anyways. So.
And this actually, yeah.
So I have been thinking about that because the reality is that it is weirdly distracting, but you and I were talking about this. It's distracting from things that are usually distractions.
Yeah.
Like doing the laundry and doing the cooking and all that is like something that we do, but not.
It's the maintenance of everyday life, but it's not the heart of the issues
of life and
life
reality.
Itself. Yeah, so it's like sometimes we're so caught up in all of the details of existence that we forget about existence itself.
Right, and that we're all going to die, that this is,
yeah.
that we're all,
and
yeah.
I have to say that Nate has been so awesome about how he's faced this whole trial that it's just been a huge, huge example, I think. And
yeah,
it just
totally.
Makes you realize, like, oh, wait, that is what bravery looks like and faith looks like and trust
I
looks
told
like.
You, didn't I, that after Sabbath dinner, so we had our last Sabbath dinner together as a family before the surgery, not the last one before the surgery, but the last one with Nate.
With
and
him there, yeah.
With them there. And this last Saturday, and it was funny because I didn't even realize until like 2 days later, I was like, oh gosh, when he gave me that hug when he was leaving, he was like giving me a goodbye hug. And I'm like, no, that wasn't it. I'm coming over Wednesday night. Don't think you can sneak
yeah.
away, you know,
yeah.
like, but he's been so cheerful and upbeat about it that it is funny that it is primarily his and his family's affliction. And yet they are the most encouraging people to be with.
Oh yeah.
Like he is the most encouraging people uh-huh. to be with, people person,
which I think brings up another thing that you and I were talking about. And that is how easy it is for people. Well, it's just for anyone. This is a common human temptation. But when we're having a hard time, the temptation is to notice all the nice things people could have done for us. All
right.
of the things they could have said that would have been tactful, all of the ways
mm-hmm.
they could have ministered to us. And then we can compile a nice little list to post on the internet later of like, here's what everyone should have done when I was,
I thought it should be titled 14 things you should have known before you brought me a casserole. Like most of those articles are
and
like weirdly, weirdly. Yes. And some of them that will be like how to handle the postpartum mom will have flat out contradictory things in it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't touch the baby unless I asked you to. And then later, be that person who just holds the baby and tells me to take a shower. And you're like, clearly you're not in a mental state to be writing the list of things to do. But it's also
fundamentally backwards. Like, yeah. We're not supposed to be thinking of how everyone else could minister to us. We right. should be the person looking to use our trial to bless others. Mm-hmm. Like, how can I and turn a profit on the trial in front of me?
Totally. And a long time ago, I wrote a blog post, I think called Fight for Us, but I'm saying that, and the point of it was this, but sometimes it's not that you're ministering to other people. Like, you're not, if you're really buckled down dealing with a trial, it's not like you need to be writing other people encouraging notes time. But the point is that faithfully dealing with your own trial is an encouragement to everyone. Is. Because we are the body of Christ. And if you happen to be one small section of the body that is dealing with an infection, you know, like that there's a problem, when you fight that infection, you fight it on behalf of the whole body. Like, you're protecting everyone from that. You're doing something for everyone.
And you also are a huge encouragement to the people who see you doing it. So it's like, I can say, as we look at Nate and Heather and how they're handling this trial with such grace, like, how fabulous is that? Like, that's a blessing to us just watching it. It's not like he had to write me an encouraging note for me to be blessed by it.
Right.
But faithfulness is a blessing to the rest of the body.
It is,
So it's not like if you're struggling with whatever, you then need to like turn around and start taking other people dinners.
No, and faithfully wrestling with it. Faithfully not being a
fusser?
Fussers.
Because I think that that's really the thing around
Nobody
all of those.
Likes a fusser.
The self-pitying lists that people put up.
Self-pity is an epidemic in our culture.
It's an epidemic that we have decided is a virtue.
Yeah.
Like, everyone can gush out a whole lot of sin problems, and everyone comes around and says,
You're so brave! Thank you for showing us your heart. And you're like, your heart of darkness over there. Like, tidy that thing up before you get it out
before
for all of us.
Take it on parade.
But not that I have a problem with people. This comes back to when I first wrote for mothers. I never meant to write for mothers. And that wasn't.
It just came upon you.
It did. It actually did. It was funny. It was like uncomfortable and awkward in a voice. I felt too young to be writing. You know, it was just kind of like, whatever. But when I first started writing for mothers, the thing that was frustrating and the reason I was willing to try to do it is I felt like there were either this weird, almost superstitious kind of fakiness about it. Like, where someone's talking about being, it's the kind of artwork where someone is wearing an enormous white lacy nightgown in a rocking chair with an arbor of roses out the window.
Oh, yeah.
Rocking the baby that's always asleep.
Mm, with a straw hat somewhere.
Yeah. Well, she's in her nightgown in this one, so probably not.
But if they were outside. Somebody gave me a book, and it was a woman in a straw hat and a lacy nightgown, both together.
Probably in a field of wildflowers.
In a field, yeah.
Probably feeling the power of the earth nurturing them all.
Probably.
So here's the thing, is it was either like that, and I mean Christians, because I'm not interested in the world's advice on it. Nobody cares. They're going to get it wrong. But Christians would be like, this is a precious soul that is yours for eternity. And it was like, how you, and it's not always untrue, but it is weirdly fake. Like, it's like, it's not untrue that cottages light up at night, but Thomas Kincaid's paintings are weirdly not accurate. Like, you're like, it's not untrue that there's wonderful beauty like that in the world, but you're weirdly representing it.
But we often have to deal with a lot of very humdrummy things.
Right, and it's not all breathtaking sunsets when you're having kids. A lot of it is stepping on macaroni noodles in your socks.
But then
it's
there's
not,
the people that want...
But the opposite side is all reality and no joy. And the thing that bothered me is I'm like, people, there is such a thing as being realistic, but still joyful, because you're still thankful. What's your recommendation?
Oh,
field of recommendations?
Yeah, you pick it this time, because I'm, look at me, no ideas.
How about we do, you recommend something in your sewing. What's your favorite sewing accessory or book or something that you've learned
from. You know what?
From.
I loved, there was a book Ben bought me for Christmas years ago, and
oh, we had a moment about that, didn't we? When
maybe.
You were reading that and you were like,
probably,
yeah,
did.
Was it close to your spiritual turnaround about
it
ironing
was.
All the pieces?
No, it wasn't, because I had had that years before, but this was, it's a book that is actually not for the home sewer. It's called Sewing for the Apparel Industry.
Do you spell it the home sewer, or do you run that risk of it looking like you're the home sewer?
It's not for the home sewer.
Is it for the home seamstress?
No. It is not. It is called Sewing for the Apparel Industry. So it is not. And it also, it assumes that you're going to be using all of the basically production kinds of machines
right. That
are geared to do one thing only. It's not like a home machine.
It's like move to your hemmer.
Yeah, the home machine is more versatile in that sense, but it's also, you know, it's not the industrial machines. So there's certain things that don't translate across, but it has phenomenal, like, it walks you through how to do a Hong Kong finish on a seam, for instance. And it's like, oh my goodness, I learned so many things about how to handle curves, how to, you know, just lots of little just kind of tricks of the trade.
Yeah.
And I thought it was invaluable because of that. So that is my, I mean, you know, you can mm-hmm. learn to sew without it. It's just, it had a lot of just interesting tips that I had not bumped into anywhere else in my lifetime of sewing. Yeah, but it's a great big old thick book, and it's not like it's a real page turner. It's sort of like, here's the Hong Kong finish.
I quit reading page turners a while ago. I mean, like fiction, I do sometimes still, but I quit a lifetime of always being reading a fiction mm-hmm. book, because it turns out that it's not handy in my life.
No, to get caught up in story.
Oh my word, I'm like trying
really
to make
bad.
Dinner with one
it's
hand
really
while
bad.
I'm mostly reading
yeah.
a book.
No, it's
and
very
you're
hard.
Like, wait, I have to finish
I know.
It. So
it's really hard.
So
okay, here's what you should recommend. For moms who are home during the day, what is a great idea for lunch? Because you make yourself good lunches. And I know that
I
as
eat?
A mom at home, it's easy to just eat the crusts of the PBJs
oh, yeah.
and call it good.
Well, so here's where I really recommend Weight Watchers is what I recommend.
Mm-hmm.
As funny as that is, I love Weight Watchers. And right now, whatever their newest program is way better than the... I've done Weight Watchers like 4 different times probably.
Okay.
I'm just guessing. I've been through several of their plans. Once in college when I signed up for it with a goal weight loss of 5 pounds. I did it with friends. It
yeah.
was not a time that I needed
yeah.
to really lose a lot of weight, but it's still good. And then I did it after my first baby, and then after the twins, and then after, well, most recently after Moses. And so this new, the plan that they're doing right now is really, I really like it. It's a super good one. But that's a big part of it, because you do notice when you are actually, when it matters, when your body cares what you're eating, you notice how much just eating a random piece of crust is actually
not worth it.
Like, you're like, oh, 2 bites of someone's PBJ was a third of my daily allotment for
yeah.
food. Why would I do that? I don't want
yeah.
that. So I guess I make myself mostly a lot of, not so much salads, but like roasted veggies. But that was all through the winter. Now I'm kind of changing it up.
Oh, right. You're having a crisis.
I did a lot of roasted veggies. Now I usually saute veggies, like maybe some chicken, sausage, and zucchini, and kale, and tomatoes, and stuff, and just make a big hot.
Hot makes a big difference
of veg.
To me. I feel like if it's hot, it makes you feel like you just ate a meal.
Yeah, and the other thing I do is I use a vintage Pyrex bowl that has it's like a shallow bowl with a pretty border. It's like, it's just
yeah.
like, that's what I eat my lunch out of. I always do that. Sometimes I make black bean burgers, and I'll have a black bean, like without the bun. I'll do roasted veggies and a black bean burger for lunch or whatever. But the thing I would really, that's what you wanted me to recommend. What I wanted to recommend was actually knitting with Madeline Tosh yarn. Madeline Tosh yarn. This
okay.
is Mad Tosh sock. And I like
it's
it because, well, the dye, they do the hand-painted dye, so it is not like a solid color. It's like got a little bit of
variation.
Depth. Yeah, it just kind of looks, it makes it look like the nice kind of handmade, I think. It makes it look like the happy kind of.
Yeah.
of that. And then when I started this hat, since it's on sock, it's on size 3 needles and sock yarn. And when I started it, I realized my only size 3 needles were dull, which makes it kind of a pain when you're trying to, like, get the yarn every time.
Right.
So I started it and ordered myself some Addy Turbos. I love Addy Turbos needles. These are specifically, I think, rockets.
The
Addy Turbo sock rocket, probably.
Sock rocket needle.
They're so nice. And they're nickel plated, so they're the metal circulars. But see, I've been knitting this whole time. You haven't been hearing it, have you?
No.
They're nickel plated. They're
whisper soft.
Whisper soft Addy Turbo sock rocket. You too could knit while podcasting without everyone knowing it. Unless you talk about it, you give yourself away. But the tips are like pointy enough that and they glide well. They don't do that obnoxious metal on metal squeaking.
Yeah, right.
That puts a person out of fellowship with their knitting. So I just, you know.
Awesome. So
yeah, that's my recommendation.
We've been talking for a solid 42 minutes. So we should probably call this
42
off.
42 minutes.
Let everybody, you know, have a time off.
Until next week, and thank you for your prayers for Nate and his family. Let's see, this will go.
Next week we will.
Yeah, next time we will have the outcome of the surgery, Lord willing.
Well, not if we record on time, but we never record on time.
Oh, if we do it Monday.
In theory, we record on Mondays, and it releases
I don't know how we'll do that this week, because you're going to be gone, and then.
No, I don't leave
until
Thursday.
I mean, not this week. Yes, this week we'll all be here. Yeah. Next week.
Anyway. Whatever. We've got to go. And
goodbye, guys.
Goodbye.
Talk to you next week.
Have fun.
New St. Andrews College thanks you for listening.